Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about fire in the soul. I thinking about the verse of this song, 222 in our book. It says, "Is the Spirit glowing in thy heart?" That's a question. Oh, my brother, can you say that you feel the burning love of God in thy bosom day by day? And I suppose only you can answer that question. But I think we all could probably say here, or most all of us would say, that I've had that fire. Yes. I've had that fire in there. At home, I fool with wood heat a lot. I fool with fires. In the wintertime, daily. And there's a few qualities I'd like to bring out about fire. It feels good on a cold day. As a matter of fact, when you've been out in it and get cold, there's nothing like it. There's something that it can do that nothing else can do. Warmth. It brings warmth. Or you say it brings heat. It's hot. But I found out some things about it. It's not perpetual. You know what I mean? I build up, I'll come in sometimes, we'll come home from a trip, and it'll be sometimes 40s in the house. And that's just not comfortable. It feels bad. And I'll get there beside of a big hunk of metal, and it's cold to lay your hands on it. Nothing attractive or appealing about that. And I'll build up a fire in there. And it'll start getting warm and start putting off. And I'll get a big fire going, and the bigger the better, and I'll get it warmed up in there. But if I don't continue with it, something happens. It'll burn out.
That's right.
And I can come back the next day sometimes. And a lot of times once the house warms up and I don't notice it so much, it's real easy. Now in cold weather, real cold weather, I don't dare let it go out. Understand? I mean, the intensity of it. You ever been there spiritually? You ever been in a place that you don't dare let it go out? The very trial demands it. The very significance of your time demands that you're dealing with it. I know, I've been there, and I'm going to tell you, you'll throw another log on it real quick. You keep it going. You keep your relationship with the Lord going. You make sure all the qualities. Now, with a fire, you got to have some things going there. You got to have the heat source. You got to have the air going. You do everything. You keep it going. Now, when it gets zero, below zero, 10 below zero at my house, it's burning pretty well full out. And when there's the slightest feel in the house or one of the family, they like it 80 degrees in there. But they'll say, "I'm freezing." Well, I'll look at the thermometer in there and it says 76. And I said, "Well, you're not freezing. But I can feel the air in the corners of the, I can feel something happen." And what I'll generally do is go in and I'll poke around at it and I'll put some more wood on it to keep it up because I don't dare want it to go out. Folks, it's a cold time. Our world is so evil and wicked and it's so against spirituality and true things of God. It's cold. It's getting colder. We need a good hot fire burning. But I'm going to warn you tonight, it's real easy to let it go out when you start feeling comfortable. It's real easy not to tend the fire. I said before in the day, well, I know it's going to get cold when and up there in the mountains when the sun goes down, it starts getting cold. Now, it might get up 60 degrees in the day up there in the winter sometimes, but when that sun goes down over the hills, it's going to get cold, and sometimes fast. And there's been times before that I would have a fire through the night and in the next morning, and the mornings are always really cold, so I want a fire, and I'll get a fire going, but through the day, I don't notice that I need any fire. Because there's other circumstances around. Maybe we go somewhere. I'll maybe throw a log on it, but not tend it too much. But then when the sun goes down, about 6 or 6:30 at home, a lot of times I'll think, oh, I need a fire. And my hope is, now this is my hope. I hope when I go to the stove that there's fire there. That's what I really want. Over and over again, I think, I don't want to have to split kindling again. I don't want to go through the process again of making the fire. I don't want to have to go gather the right ingredients. When I go in there, I've neglected it. I've neglected it all day long because I didn't feel like I needed it all day long. But now I really feel the urgency because if I don't get some fire going real soon, we're going to be cold. In just a few hours, we're going to get cold. And then we're going to be really cold. And by morning, it's going to be unbearable. I mean, it's not unbearable, really. But you know what I'm saying? Really unbearable. It's going to be cold. And so I go to my stove many times and I look in. Well, a lot of times I'll lay my hand on it. There is maybe a remnant yet. I can feel that it's not room temperature yet. It's still warm. And that gives me some hope. It's still warm, but folks, that ain't going to make it. Just being warm is not going to make it. It's not going to heat the whole house. It's not what it is. And so I open it. I look for some evidence in there. And ultimately, what I do, I get the poker, and I begin to stir, and I'm looking for something. I'm looking for some fire. I'm looking for some hope. I'm looking for something that can rekindle again. Something can get it going again. And folks, I'd be willing to say that everyone in here that's lived for the Lord for very long can apply this to your life. Because there's been times that just by the natural course of life that you've looked and you've said, I haven't kept it I haven't felt the need. Things have been good. And I haven't felt the need of it. And before long you realize that it's there and you're saying, I need more fire than this. Now something's happening. I need some more fire. It's starting to get cold and I need some fire. And I'll get in there and look around and I'll stir in those ashes. I'm stirring in the ashes. I want to make a point of this. I'm in there stirring in the ashes because I want to find something in there. And sometimes I'll find a coal. And as air hits it more, it starts to glow a little bit. And I'll rake it over to a certain place where the air can get to it. And look, and sometimes there's another and another. And if I can get just a pile there, I can get a fire going here from this. Over in Timothy, 2 Timothy, the first chapter. One and six. Says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. And that's what we want to do tonight. I want to put you in the remembrance of what God is to you. You started out on a race. It's awful to lose anybody. We don't want to lose anybody. And when we preach like this and we talk this way, we're not saying or belittling or not trusting your experience or anything like that. But we know the absolute detriment that it can be to your soul to get warm, to cool off. We know the danger of that and what can come in when you begin to cool off. This says to put you into remembrance that thou stir up. Yes. And we'll get this right. That thou. Well, God, stir me up. Yeah, okay. That's good. Give the Lord to say, Lord, stir me up. But this scripture isn't saying that.
That's right.
This scripture is saying, you stir.
Amen, Lord.
And this analogy happens to be this very analogy that I'm talking about. It's the analogy of a fire that's burned down. And it needs something. It needs stirred up. There's still elements there that'll burn, but it needs stirred up. And he said, Timothy, you stir up. God gave you something. He gave you a gift. You know, it's real easy to allow that that God's given us to go down to a warm place.
That's right.
But the Lord wants us to be fervent. and wants us to be hot against the time that we live in. You know what we need to do? We need to be stoking our fires every day.
Amen.
Well, my fire wouldn't last every day at home. If I just said I'll soak it one time a day, Brother Dan, I mean, some of these got hoppers enough to do it and serve it one day, but mine ain't that way. If I'm going to keep it burning and hot, I'm going to have to tend it. I'm going to have to stir it up. There's times, and it's always the coldest times. In the coldest times, and it's always in the morning, there's something about the barometric pressure that changes the draw of the stove, and it's hard to get the... You know what I'm saying? If you've ever tended fires, and you're there, and it's dropped, the temperature is dropping, and going down, and you're needing more fire, more and more heat, but the stove isn't drawing, and it isn't pulling. I'm saying, why do I always have less heat when I need it the most? But that's the time I gotta get in there and stir it and open it up wide and get a lot of heat going out that it'll draw up against that. Sometimes it takes some effort to do it. But if we're gonna be successful in this, we're gonna have to tend it. And he said, Timothy, you stir up the gift that's in you. You pay attention to what God's given you. You work this out. Timothy, you do it. Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, Timothy, you've got something. And you've had a gift inside of you. Don't let that thing cool off.
Amen.
There's danger in cooling off. Stoke it up. Work it. Feed it. Keep it going. Keep it alive. It's cold time. It's cold out there in this world trying to sap all of our spirituality. You ever been there? I'm a curious type person, so I involve myself into the understandings of many things. I'm curious about things, and I look at things, and want to understand things. And you know there's times that I've run into things that challenge my faith. And when I run into those kinds of things, when they start doing that, I start moving them back. Because faith is a choice, and I choose to believe. And when I start being challenged by my faith, I start backing off from that, and I'm going to say, God's right no matter what anybody says. I don't care any what evidence that you think you can come up with, God's truth. And God's right. And I've chosen to believe the Lord. I want to work at and build that, and the scripture says, build up your most holy faith. You build it up, stir it up, work it up. Believe in the Lord. Feed yourself. You got to feed a fire. You gotta feed your fire. Now, I was at home, over last summer before last. I was clearing off a good sized, patch of woods, and the boys was with me, and I'd cut down trees, and I'd stack the tops and the limbs and the brush, and I kept putting it on a brush pile. We actually had a couple of them, but I'd put it on there, and when it got too high for me to throw it up there, the boys would climb up there and bounce up and down on it. And we did that over and over until we had this gigantic brush pile. And I thought, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. When I lit that, because I was curious, I let it dry for months and months, and it was a good, dry, big brush pile. And when I lit that thing up, I stood back and measured about 10-foot increments. And it hit somewhere between 40 and 50 feet, the flames was in the air. This was massive. You couldn't get close to that. It put off such heat. You couldn't get close to it. The hotter it burned, the quicker it burned out. You know that thing flamed up in an enormous heat. It put out an enormous heat, an enormous light, and made a great deal. You could have seen the light of it, no doubt, if it had been night, a long ways away. It made a big deal. But the bigger deal it was, the quicker it dies. The more fuel it takes, the more splash it, the more, you see what I'm saying? There's an analogy here too. Burn bright and shine. People do it all the time. They get a hold of something and they burn bright and shine for a little while and do it. That's not the way to do it. You want to keep the fire going. Oh, burn bright, folks. But keep it going. That idea of stirring up is the analogy of stirring up a fire. Poking at it. Looking back and sure it's there. Still something there that can burn. What happens when it burns out? Over in 2 Samuel. 11th chapter says, And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Do you think David ever burned bright?
Yes, he did.
David burned, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Showed a light, didn't he? Didn't he show the example? Wasn't he an example of faith to Israel? From a young lad, he trusted in God. He gave the battle to the Lord. It's not me. You come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. He told Goliath. He had defeated the lion and the bear. He said, God delivered him into my hands and he'll deliver this uncircumcised Philistine too. He was a man that God had put his, he burned bright in the eyes of the people. No doubt he burned bright. No doubt there was a real burning in his soul. But these words makes me to know something. The fire had burned down. Was there no coals? Was there no heat? No, I'm confident there always was. I believe down in there was always something that burned in David. I believe there was something that was noble and right down in there about David, but he let the fire burn down. And then he didn't have the desire. Do you know what David was? According to the Lord, he was a man of war. He was caught, that's what he was. He was a warrior. He was a warrior king. His job was to subdue the nations around him. It's what he was called to, a king. And now it comes, he's time to do the will of the Lord. And there's no fire. He wasn't saying, give me the mountain now. He wasn't saying, give me the enemy. He wasn't saying, where's the next Goliath for my life? Lord, where's the next episode that I can burn bright for you? I've been stoking it up and I got a love burning in here for you. I want to see your cause stretch throughout all the world. I want to see the God of Israel be glorified and lifted up. I want to win the battles for you, Lord. Am I wrong here to say that it didn't sound like that? This young man that had such a fervor that he said in the face of all these that would ridicule him, he said, I'll go fight the giant. Yes. Nobody else would, and he was greatly outmatched, but yet he said, I'll go. What are you talking about? What have you got? Fire in my soul. Yes. That's what I got. I got the Spirit of God burning inside me. That's what I got. I don't have your size and strength and all that, but I got faith in God. I got something burning in here. I would rather die down there at Goliath's hand than I have to sit here and hear that he's abusing and putting down God and the armies of God. I don't want to hear it. So I'm going to go down and take him on. Everybody ought to feel this way. Shouldn't we? And then he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Yes. Had fire in his soul. I'm going to go down there and fight him. I wonder what happened to David. Folks, the same thing that happens to all of us. The years rolled by. What do you think all these people of God, we read about their stories, but we don't read about when nothing's happening. It don't say in all these years nothing happened. You know, there was a lot of days that he, just like us, he lived life. And he come down to a certain point. And probably because there was no giant standing in front of him, and because there was no great battles or challenges in front of him, he didn't feel the needs that he once had felt. And he didn't soak the fire. And he didn't keep the heat going and the warmth going. And now he gets into this time. Let's listen to the story. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose off his bed and walked up on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now listen, I don't know how this all plays out. I've looked into it a little bit, and there is some suggestions that there may have been an acceptable time that people kind of took their afternoon rest. But I don't know about a... I just never figured out a grown man getting off his bed in the evening tide. I'm sorry. The man should have been up and doing something. That just don't sound right. I've never really got that really in my mind well, that this is something that a man should have been doing. It sounds to me like, well, I'm not going to go fight. I'm just going to stick around here. And maybe he was up all night partying. I don't know what he was doing. But for a man to get off of his bed in the evening time, it just sounds to me like that's a bad deal. It just sounds to me like there's something wrong with this whole scene. He wasn't up and doing. He wasn't about his business. He wasn't trying to take care of the things that he should have been. And he got into a place here, folks, and this is what happens. He got himself in trouble. Now, I don't need to read the whole story, I think, for us to understand what happened. But he got himself in one of the worst black marks in all the history of the kings of Israel. And this was the best one of the bunch. And he got himself into a terrible shape. And this was the one that had the high mark of the kings. And this, and he done a terrible thing. He had Uriah killed to cover it up. This is absolutely the worst of politics here. And how did he get there? He didn't keep the fire going. And I'm going to tell you, we will too. And folks, we have an idea sometimes, and I kind of stress this everywhere I go, but I want you to understand something. You are not always in control of yourself. You can't just say, I'm going to get, people do, and they say, I'm going to get real serious with the Lord one of these days. Do you know, you may not even have enough mind to want the Lord later in your days. You can't determine that about yourself. You may say right now, I feel like one of these days I want to be saved. Or, I want to get it right one of these days. I know there's some things I need to take care of. Or, I know I need more zeal in my life. Or, I need more of this. And one of these days I'm going to do it. But there is no guarantee that you'll feel that way later in life. You may completely go away from that and get to the point you think you're fine. I've seen it over and over. We cannot dictate that part of our life. What we feel and what we think, when the Lord comes dealing with us, folks, that's a time to move. Yeah, that's right. When the Lord's dealing with us and has pointed out those things to us and we feel that, that's time to go. The scripture said, Jesus said, I piped to you, but you didn't dance. Yeah. We've mourned unto you, but you haven't lamented. He took the two emotional things. You know, music is very emotional, isn't it? I mean, if you, listen to this. You're not going to dance when the music's playing. If you're not going to dance then, what makes you think you're going to dance when it's not? When the Spirit's working and calling on you, and you got some fire there to work with, and the Lord's trying to get it going on you again, what are you going to do if it doesn't happen? To say that one of these days I'm going to feel like serving the Lord is a foolish thing. If you feel like it now, you better do it. Because you may never feel that again. The piping, you may not feel like dancing. But when that music's playing, that's the time. That's when you feel like moving. My little children, when they get big enough to move, they'll move up music. There's something that makes you move. You know, when people around you are mourning and crying, it's hard not to. But he said, we mourn, but you didn't lament. If you're not going to mourn, when everybody's mourning, you're not likely to mourn when they're not.
That's true.
You're not going to mourn when they're not. Lord help us. David got himself in a situation here till he didn't have the feelings he once had. Can you believe that? What was David thinking? David was the man of God. I think there was a time in his life that he would have never felt that way. Don't you? You'd have said, no, that's wrong against God. I'd never go against God. But he didn't feel that way there. What happened to him? The fire burned down. He didn't have it anymore in there like it was. Oh, I think there was some coals in there burning. But he didn't have the fire going. It wasn't inspiring him. It wasn't moving him to greater things. And he got himself into a place. So much so that it took a real joke to even get him to understand it. And along comes a prophet. And the prophet being wise and the Lord being wise has come to him, and the Lord reveals this to the prophet. And so the prophet comes and tells him a little story. Now David had a number of wives, didn't he not?
Yes.
And if he'd have wanted any more, he'd have had them. Hey, he was king. After all, he could have done whatever he wanted. God gave him that kind of position. So the prophet comes by and says to David, David, let me tell you a little story. There was a man that had a little ewe lamb. And it was the only one he had. And it was like a daughter to him. It was real close. And there was a traveler came by this rich man. This rich man had flocks of all kind. And a traveler came by and he had to feed him. So he takes this other man's little ewe lamb and slays it to feed it to the passerby. Oh, David, his wrath was kindled. Saw it plain. Well, that's awful. And he said, this man shall surely be put to death and repay fourfold. You're the man, David. That must have been piercing words. I've been found out. Found out? Really? God knew it all the time. I remember hearing a preacher tell the story of a man that ended up running away from his... He had several children. He ran away from them and ended up in a life. And he come back and he was talking to the pastor after his fall. And he said to the pastor, he said, my biggest problem, he said, was I left my family. And that pastor said, no, it wasn't. And you know it. Your biggest problem was you left God. You had fire burning one time and you neglected to keep it burning, is what he told him. You had a good experience with the Lord and you failed to keep it going, and that's what your problem was. The other problems was just a side note. The other problems was just what happens to all people in sin. You left God out. You didn't keep the fire burning. Well, let's go on with the story of David because, and I'm glad for this, I thank God for it. That wasn't the end of David, was it? Oh, it was a glitch in the system. It was something that he hated all of his life. But it wasn't the end of it. The scripture says, thou stir up the gift. Stir the fire that is in you. Amen. We can say, Lord, you do it. I wish the pastor would preach better. I wish there was more spiritual people around me. Well, those are all good excuses. But that's not what this says. You stir it up. Amen. Do you know you can be spiritual even if I'm not? Your spirituality ain't determined by mine. You say, well, if everybody else was spiritual, I'd do better. Well, that's probably, maybe there's some truth to that, but maybe they would do better if you was more spiritual. Ever think of that? I mean, you know there's some fires that catch hold here. I've seen testimony services just light and go because somebody had some fire going and it caught on, and all of a sudden everybody wants a little bit of the fire. We can't blame that on everybody else. You stir up your gift that's in you. You get in there and make sure that it's burning and it's hot. And it'll be a benefit to everybody, see? But David wasn't through, and I thank God that he wasn't through. The Lord had mercy on him. 51st Psalm, speaking to this. My margin says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him. Have mercy upon me, O God. My fire's about out. Yeah, you see the evidence, it's called sin. And ain't nobody above it. Not without God. It takes the Lord, don't it? I mean, it takes the Lord. If it didn't take the Lord, we could do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. The natural default setting of every human being, get into computer language here a little bit. I got a computer and I got some default settings on it. It always goes back to that's what it's set on. Humans are sinners. They're defaulted to it. We need something to deliver us from it, or we're defaulted to that. We're born that way. So wasn't David. And when he got away from his desire and purpose of the Lord, he showed up that. We all will. You will, I will, we all will. If I don't have a fire burning in my soul, I'm going to revert back. I'm going to revert back.
That's right.
To base, carnal, natural things.
That's right.
It's just the truth. So I need some fire. Keep me going, Lord. Help me stir that thing up. Me stir it up. I've got to get the poker. I've got to get that going in there. Get some air in. Get some wood. Always soaking it up. Even put it on there. What are we going to throw on there? I'm going to throw some good songs on there. I'm going to throw some good scriptures on there. I'm going to throw meditations on the Lord in there. I'm going to daily keep my fire going. I'm going to think about good things. When bad things come, I'm going to reverse it around. Do it all the time. Do it day in, day out, because a lot of bad things come. So I have to convert it around. No devil comes and says, you should take up for that. And then I say, no, I'll be like Jesus. See, I'm always, you got to keep stoking. Keep stoking. Right. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Oh, Lord, help. How often I run into that. It's more than just trying to say something. More than just trying to say something that sounds right. Yes. So everybody will understand. I was at the office one day. This was years ago. We had a job that was a tight bit of job. And the boss made me to know that the job was tight. So, get with it. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're going to lose here if we don't perform. Well, we didn't perform. And I was the boss. So one morning, he calls me to the table with the other guy standing around and he says, what's this? And you know, I crafted a line of words that sounded really good. And I know it kind of had him thinking about just what exactly did it mean. And the words I said were true. But I didn't tell him the truth. And I walked away from there, and I walked about 10 feet towards the other room. And we'll tell you, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. The Lord said, you didn't tell that right. Now, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? You know what I can say that moment in my life? I'm glad there was fire in there. Because I turned around in the face of all these guys that I work daily with. I turned around and went back over to the boss. And I said, I didn't tell that right. The truth is, we ain't been doing our job the way we're supposed to. I'm sorry. I did not perform on this. We was fooling around and we didn't get the job done. And I'm sorry. I take responsibility for it. And I felt about this high. But I sure went home feeling better than I would have if I hadn't have corrected that. If I hadn't have corrected that, that's like putting water on it. If flame and the Lord, I'm going to tell you, I've done better. I went away saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to perform, Lord. I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I wasn't doing what you wanted me to do. Where was it? Was me back there. Folks, how easily it is that we can get into those kind of places. How easy we can let just, it didn't seem to matter so much. It seems like it's so easy to let things happen when everything's going good. But you let one of my little ones get sick. And I really stoked that fire. I want that fire to be hot and stoked up when those kind of things happen. In life. When things happen that I really need to call upon the Lord, I've got this, you know what I'm saying? I want the fire to be there. I want to be something there. I don't want to go trying to stir. You got to get something going here. David let it go way down. But he gives us an example. He said he desired truth in the inward parts. That means right way down in my heart, I want the truth. I want the truth to be in me. I don't want to lie to myself. Well, I'm just as hot as I'm fervent as I can be. Well, you'll know it if it is, because his heat comes off fire. You'll know it. You'll see it. It glows. There's light with it. You'll see it. You can't hide a fire. It will do something to show itself along the ways. A good hot fire will show itself. Truth in the inward parts. Folks, if you're here tonight, there's no shame in letting that fire burn down some. But I'm going to tell you, if you're here tonight, stoke it up. Yes. Stir it. Stir it up. Get it going up again. Amen. David says, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, yes, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And I want to say something here, and I found it true in my own life, and if you disagree with this, well, I'll just say that I found it true in my life. I don't advocate mistakes and problems, but the Lord's got a way of using them. And I found some of my greatest places in God after I failed. You know why? It's cold. It's cold, that's why. And I don't like it. And I don't like the feel of the guilt. And it moves me towards something. It moves me to better things. It moves me to more hope. There's been many times the Lord has taken those things. And I'm not advocating failures. I'm just saying that in many people's lives, failures has been what made them. When I look and say, this is what I've done, what a failure am I, Lord. As David said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. All the illusions are gone now. Almighty King David. Oh, how many said what a man of God he was. And he must have said, that's right. I killed the lion and the bear and Goliath. And Saul killed his thousands and me the 10,000s. No, he didn't have that early on. But I wonder at what point that would have caught up with him. But now there's none of that. I want truth in the inward part. Without God, I'm not a man of God. And I have no righteousness or nothing to lean on. Oh, purge me. If you don't make me clean, Lord, I'll be dirty. That's all there is to it. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. It sounds to me like there was a man that wanted his fire back. It sounded to me like a man that wanted his ability to pray and God hear him again. He wanted to have the contact with God again. He wanted that spirit burning in his heart. He wanted God to restore him back to where he was and give him his joy back. You ever been in a place you lose your joy? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Can't wait. Can't wait to get it done. I remember one time, I did it without, it wasn't malicious. I was doing it. I said some things. I'll just say that. I said some things in a public setting just like this that wasn't the right thing to say. They was a little accusing. They was a little, it just was the wrong thing to say. It was just a bad thing to say. Well, it didn't take me long to hear about that. And you know what? It bothered me. And it started bothering me more and more. And so I started hitting the phone. And I told them, I said, I know I done it publicly. And when it comes time publicly to do it, I'll make it better publicly. But I can't wait till public, because public could be Sunday, and I can't wait all week for it. I want to take care of it now. That was the wrong thing to say, and I'm sorry. I didn't want that there. I didn't want it interfering with my prayers. I didn't want it to be there as a damper to my relationship with the Lord. And when I got it all took care of, I felt better. It was all better and they was all forgiving. But I had to take care of it. This is what the heart of David was in this psalm. Lord, I failed miserably. So the awful example of what God is. It will be a black mark on you, me, be a black mark. Lord, make it right. I've prayed many times, Lord, don't let my foolishness be against the cause of God. Don't allow my mistakes to hinder the work of the Lord. He wanted that fire back. It's so valuable to have that fire. I want to look at one more scripture. It's in Isaiah. Sixth verse says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. All of this, what we are, and yet no one stirring themselves up. Again, same analogy here, a fire that's gone out or going out. And none poke it up. No trying to rekindle what has been lost. Not to try to get back the things that were there. Lord, help us. I was talking to a brother in our congregation one day, and he told me this story. He said, I was a little boy, so high, I forget what his age was. He said, after service, he said, I got out on the rail fence. Used to be a rail fence around the chapel in Greenbank there. Two rail, I think. And he got up on that rail fence, and he was trying to balance himself, and he fell off. And he told me, he said, Brother Marty, I broke my bones in my forearm slick. Slick. Broke them. He said, they grabbed me and run me in to the altar. Said, Brother Sammons came and laid hands on me and prayed. And he said, Brother Marty, I opened the car door when we left that night with that hand. And I said to him, lest we forget. And he sobered and said, yeah. Yeah, lest we forget. Is there still fire?
Yes.
Is there still fire? Is God still that God?
Yes.
We're moved on, ain't we? Honestly, aren't the pressures of life all around us moving us, trying to change those kind of things in our life? Lest we forget. Has He ever done anything for you? Have you ever really saw the Lord? Have you ever really had that spatial hug from the Lord, that spatial touch from the Lord? Have you ever had the time that He absolutely just made the difference?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Lest you forget.
Yes,
lest you go away from that place. And do you know what? If the fire gets down low enough, you'll make light of that. I've seen it happen. You'll say that miracle should hold some people for some, right? Not if the fire goes out, folks. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
The greatest of miracles won't hold you against the fire going out. It takes the relationship with the Lord. It takes that burning. It takes that desire. Without that, all those miracles, I'm going to tell you, I could write a book. And it isn't boasting because everything in it wouldn't be me. It would be God. God worked in people's lives, and He worked in our lives, and over and over and over again, I've seen the hand of the Lord by faith and do it, and yet I've struggled with the battles. It takes fire.
That's right.
It takes a fire to be able to do it. He told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Folks, you've got to stir your gift up. Keep it alive. Keep it well. Keep your relationship with the Lord hot and burning. I'm going to tell you the way you do it. You do it every day.
Amen.
You do it every day.
Amen.
Make sure of the daily experience that there's a fire there. And then the next day, make sure the fire's there. Make sure there's a fire there.
Amen.
The song number 222. And we'll read some of the verses. I read the first one, here's the second one. Has the merit of the blood divine swept away thy sinful stain? And does heaven's glory in thee shine, ever bright and holy flame? Is thy hope unclouded by a fear? These are questions. I guess we could answer them to ourselves. Is thy hope unclouded by a fear? Hallelujah, do you know that the love of God is burning clear in thy heart as white as snow? Do you feel the mighty living power filling all thy mortal frame? And does all thy heart forever pour streams of glory to His name? If thy all is on the altar laid, guard it from each vain desire. There is an opposite to this fire. If you throw good dry wood on that fire daily, and you keep it the settings on that right and don't smother it out, it'll burn good, bright, and hot, and it'll keep a good fire going. I will sometimes in the wintertime have a continual fire in my wood stove for weeks, if not months, if I'm there. A continual fire, always maintained and always hot and thriving. But by neglect, it'll burn out. You throw the wrong thing in there on it, and it'll go out. My stove is not designed to take wood that's big and green and wet. It won't burn it up. There's not enough fire capacity there. There is things of this world. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Because of putting in things that won't burn, that isn't desired, they will actually start putting the flame, the work out, until there won't hardly be any flame at all. And this kind of captures that. If thy all is on the altar laid, guard it from each vain desire. When thy soul the perfect price has paid, God will send the holy fire. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.